God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin thinking about our gospel lesson for today by taking a brief trip into 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now, after many years of reigning as king of Israel in Jerusalem, David's son Absalom revolted against his father and led a rebellion. And it was necessary for David and those who remained loyal to him to flee from Jerusalem and to go and find refuge in the mountains. And so as they were leaving, the Bible tells us that they were leaving Jerusalem on the same road that Jesus later on was coming into Jerusalem. And it says in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 30, it says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." And so here, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1000 BC, more than 1000 years before Jesus, and now the son of David, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, is walking to Jerusalem. And he stops in that bend in the road where you're going on the road around the Mount of Olives. And there comes that point where, as you go around the bend, the city of Jerusalem appears before you in all of its splendor. And so, Jesus saw the city, and when he saw it, he wept over it. Now, his weeping tells us two things. Number one, it tells us that he knows that because of their impenitence and their unbelief regarding him, who he is, and what he brings, because of their impenitence and their unbelief, there will come the judgment and the punishment of Almighty God upon them. And he describes it in our text. He says, "Your enemies will surround you. They'll put up a trench and keep you in on every side. And they will not leave one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Right? But before we get into that, just notice, for the sake of our understanding of promise and fulfillment, Old Testament being realized and fulfilled in the New Testament, that David is forced by the rebellion and sin of his son Absalom to flee weeping and barefoot from Jerusalem. And on the same road, long time later, the son of David, the Savior of the world, weeps over Jerusalem, knowing that he comes as the Savior and the King to bring salvation. But it is a salvation that the people of Jerusalem will not receive and not benefit by. They will remain in their unbelief. They will remain in impenitence. And this is important for us to realize because we live in a time of rebellion and falling away. This is a time when people think that they are brimming with intelligence and brimming with wisdom because they no longer bother with that silly triviality called church. Oh yeah, my parents used to belong to a church. They don't go that much anymore. I haven't been there since I was a kid, people say, as if God is not listening. So, Jesus says in our text, he says as he weeps, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace. So he's like, if you had only known, if you had only understood, at least in this thy day, this is not just any day, this is your day, right? The things that belong to your peace. Here's the deal, my friends. Now is the time of God's gracious visitation. Now is our day. When Jesus came into the world, then began what the Bible calls the last day, the accepted time, the day of grace, the time of salvation. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Lord is near. The Lord may be found. This is the day of God's gracious visitation. This is our day. What does that mean? Well, it means that God visited you in your baptism. And in that visit, he gave you salvation. He connected you up with Jesus. And he gave you the forgiveness of your sins. Every time you heard a Bible story, and every time you prayed together as a child with your parents, the Lord visited you with his grace. When you sat in Sunday school and learned all of the famous Bible stories, and when you sat with the pastor and studied the catechism in preparation for your confirmation and First Communion, the Lord was visiting you with all of his saving grace and mercy and love. Wherever Christians gather together around the word and the sacraments, there is Jesus visiting us in this our day with his grace, his mercy, and his love. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. So what was it that made the people of Jerusalem not accept Jesus? Well, a curious thing happens in the world. It happened in the days of Jesus, and it happens now, where people begin to shift what they think is the priority of God away from what the scriptures clearly teach is God's priority, and they begin to put in its place another set of priorities. It's called distorting the meaning of Scripture. They're reading the same Bible, but they're missing the point. This is what happened to the people of the time of Jesus. They were reading the Bible very assiduously, more faithfully in one way than we do. But they were missing the point because they had shifted the focus of the point of Scripture away from God's saving promise and eternal life to a scheme of meritorious works righteousness. They began to think that as good people, right, there's a big mistake right there, as good people, they had the power to do good works that would impress God and therefore move God to be good to them. And so instead of understanding themselves as sinners who can't do anything to save themselves and who can only deal with God on the basis of his love, mercy, and grace, they began to think of themselves as good people who can earn God's consideration by doing a lot of good works. And in addition to that, they shifted the hope of glory away from the eternal kingdom of grace and glory to some kind of temporal kingdom in which the righteous are blessed and the wicked are annihilated. In other words, they believed in a utopian scheme. Now, we hear all about that. Today, we call works righteousness, we call it virtue signaling. You know, we live in the day of media. And one of the favorite things for people to do today is to go on social media and to show what good people they are by making videos, taking pictures, virtue signaling. See what a good person I am. I like the things I ought to like, and I hate the things that I'm supposed to hate. Virtue signaling. Or as we've always called it, works righteousness, you see? And we have people who buy into some victorious fever dream of some utopian reality that can never be in this world. You see, what our modern world doesn't understand is this. We all, not just the people we dislike, but we are all sinners. And we are all in a state of need before God. And the answer to our need is not in any temporal blessing and benefit. It is in the eternal benefit and blessing of the kingdom of God, which was manifested in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we, the Holy Christian Church, we live in the world as those who proclaim this kingdom. We proclaim its King, Jesus, and we proclaim the chief thing, which is eternal salvation by the forgiveness of sins and the blessed inheritance of everlasting life in the kingdom of grace and glory. You see? And so that's why we need to hang on to the fact that this is our day. This is the day of God's gracious visitation. Your peace is not in your merit or worthiness, which you are bereft of anyway. Your peace is in the fact that Christ has reconciled you to God through the forgiveness of sins and through his atoning work. Now you have peace with God. What does that mean? It means that God is no longer looking upon you in his wrath and sentencing you to eternal damnation, but he is now looking upon you in his grace and his mercy for Christ's sake, and he is waiting to welcome you into glory, saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Our peace is not in temporal victory. Right? Very often as Christians, we end up on the losing side of temporal battles. The world hates us and thinks that we are foolish. Our peace is not in temporal victory or in utopian fever dreams, but in the good news that God has accomplished on our behalf and for us what we could never accomplish on our own or for ourselves. That's where our peace really is. So what do we do with it? Well, at the end of our gospel lesson, it says that Jesus taught daily in the temple. Every day, he went to the temple after throwing the bums out. He went to the temple every day and he taught in the temple. The scribes and the Pharisees and the chief among the people, they were furious and they wanted to destroy him, but they couldn't figure out how to go about it because all of the people were very attentive to hear him. Jesus speaks to us publicly whenever we gather together for public worship. There is Jesus acting in grace to us and upon us by means of the gospel and by means of the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. And he who is truly present among us, he is the one who is teaching us. He is the one who is giving us his good news. What we ought to do is be very attentive to hear him. Because not only does that enable us to benefit from his blessing, but it also frustrates the plots and the plans of the wicked. Too many Christians today are compromising with the world. They don't know that the Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. They want to go along with the world and get along with the world. But here's the deal. It is the Christians who are very attentive to hear him. They are the ones who frustrate the plans of the wicked, and they are the ones who are strengthened to stand firm in the grace of God. This is the time of your visitation. This is your day. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.